The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
From sunny California to the world, it's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Jason Casey, Sam Platts, Kareem Daniels, and Diana Hong. And now, remember, the show is free. Here's Nate.
Free and easy and just cruising along. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Nate Darling Show. Big shout out to Rob Spiewak from The Mike O'Mara Show for his recommendation on a new soundboard program for my iPad. Much better.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
I can't wait to hear it.
You're hearing it right now.
Oh, it sounds pretty awesome.
You dill hole. I can't wait to hear. Nobody knows what goes on here. And it wasn't free, so we spent a little money on the show.
Okay.
Taking some of the money we make from all of the purchases you're making from the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com.
Good job, guys. Give yourself a pat on the back.
So if you're wondering, where does that money go? It gets plowed right back in. The web hosting is due this month too, so
all that's
happening.
Well,
it ain't free, baby.
When you get that tax return, go to Amazon.
Yeah, treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
And on the Facebook fan page, I went ahead and put the link in case you're like, oh, I don't want to go to the website and do that. You can hit up the Facebook fan page. The link's right there. You can hit that and bookmark it.
That easy.
It is. We're all about service. That's what we do. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk a little bit about the Grammys. Sort of. Not going to get too deeply into it because I haven't cared about the Grammys in, well, ever.
Not once?
Nope. I tried to care. tried to care a while ago, but then I was like, I don't like any of this music. This is not awards for the music I like.
Yeah. I remember there was a time that I really enjoyed, like, the album that would come out after the Grammys that had all the Grammy winners on it.
Not me. I didn't like any of that shit.
Yeah, no.
So, I mean, it's just a matter of taste. It's like, it's just the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah.
It's not for me. It's not bad. It's just not for me. So that's how I roll. Kareem, did you enjoy the Grammys?
I still haven't watched them.
There you go.
I watched part of them. see, the B.B. King tribute was good.
Okay.
The Lionel Richie tribute was, it was okay.
A lot of dead people.
Yeah.
A lot of dead tributes.
Lionel Richie was alive. He sang with those people.
I know he's alive. But they did a Glenn Frey tribute, and they did a David Bowie tribute.
Yeah.
So a lot of musicians dying. Vanity from...
I was heartbroken.
Were you? I mean, she did do a load of crack that destroyed her her internal organs in the early 90s.
Yeah, but no, that did not matter to me.
Hardly an innocent victim, but yeah. A lot of that going on. So we've got that, and Rosie O'Donnell offended some people, and then she apologized, but it's too late. I guess. I don't know. So how was your Valentine's Day, gentlemen? Jason, what did... I know you were going to do a cooking class.
Yeah, I had a cooking class with my beautiful wife.
Mm-hmm. First married Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was awesome. I'm not whipped, man. No, it was great. We learned how to make some pancetta-wrapped shrimp. We got to watch other people meet other couples. You know, it was a neat experience.
Okay.
And... So it was a lot of fun. And then we went and looked at houses because we signed mortgage paperwork in the morning.
Right.
To get the pre-approval for that. So now then we went around looking at open houses.
Yeah, I saw you climbing on the side of a wall like it was the climbing wall at a gym. What was going on?
It was on the back of this house that had a detached garage that had like a climbing wall. Like painted on the back, like not painted, but like attached
they'd
to the
built,
back of it.
They'd built their own climbing wall. On
yep.
It.
Yeah.
And is that a selling point for you?
It would be a fun thing as a kid. You know what I mean?
Well, you're a kid at heart.
Right. So, anyhow, so it was a lot of fun.
Cool. Kareem, I know you weren't going out. Did you do anything for Valentine's Day?
We went to Thunder Valley and played bingo.
Jesus Christ, how old are you? I know you're a grandfather, but come on.
There was a bunch of people there. It was actually packed.
Yeah. Right. There's a lot of old people.
No, my girlfriend won $600.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
Not this sure. time, but like the last time they went.
Ah, okay.
So it was like, shit.
And that's how they get you.
Sunday afternoon, $600. I can do that for a couple hours.
He's like, there's no football. I'm going to go.
Yeah. So we did that, and then we went and got pedicures yesterday because my toes were bad.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I would like to proudly announce I did not ruin Valentine's Day this year.
Yes.
Congratulations.
We had a happy accident in terms of where we went to dinner because 10 days out, every place that I knew about was booked. So ended up finding this place called Foundation, and it's the old 4th Street Grill in Sacramento. And we got there. We went over with a 5:30 reservation. We got there like 10 after 5 because we got there early. And we're like, we'll go in and we'll sit at the bar if we have to. We walked in, they're like, oh, we can seat you now. Place was only about half full.
Mm.
They're not normally open on Sunday, so I think that might be part of it. And virtually, like I mentioned to you guys last week about the restaurant, and you're like, what is it now?
Yeah.
So a lot of people haven't heard of it, but here's what I'll say. Really, the most comfortable booths I've sat in. They're really super comfortable. The service was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Service was really, really good. And the food was phenomenal.
Whoa.
It was phenomenal.
I've heard good things about that place.
Yeah, it was a 10 out of 10 in terms of what they had. Leslie got the Valentine's Day special,
mm-hmm.
Which was pre-selected, but they also had the regular menu, and then they had specials.
Awesome.
So I ended up having a porterhouse, or no, not a porterhouse, a ribeye steak special, which was actually pretty reasonable in terms of price,
mm-hmm.
and it was just really fantastic. It was just a steak on a bed of mashed potatoes and some spinach, and it was not over-seasoned. It was just the flavors of the food were just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Which is the sign of a really good, really good chef.
Oh yeah,
a really good chef does not douse stuff in sauces and everything else. I'm sorry, you don't.
No, it depends all on the type of cooking it is and what type of.
Yeah, just cover it with sriracha. It'll be fine.
No, that's not a
what
sauce.
Is it, what does it
that's
taste
a,
like?
That's
it,
like
oh,
ketchup.
It just tastes like sriracha. Oh, it just tastes like marinara. Oh, it just tastes like this. How would it taste like the food? You know what I like? You know what I like steak to taste like? Steak.
Yeah, well, no, I wouldn't put a sauce on a steak unless it was like a béarnaise sauce and it was like maybe a strip steak, you know? So there's certain types of meats to go with it.
Oh, we did go to Cafe Bernardo's Friday, too, for dinner.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
So that was great. We did, it was not a 10 out of 10 Valentine's Day, though, because we are struggling right now with an issue where we found out that one of the cats, and we think we know which one it is, has been marking on the day bed in the room where they stay.
Oops.
Which is not good. So basically, we pulled everything off the bed. We threw away a bunch of pillows.
Oh.
We washed a bunch of stuff. Thankfully, nothing got through to the mattresses. Went out and got plastic mattress covers.
Yeah.
And did all of that, and then marked on the bed again. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Man.
So went out Monday night and got some anti-marking spray,
mm-hmm.
which seems to be working. It got really great reviews. It seems to be working. And bringing them into the vet as we're recording this tomorrow morning, just to make sure there's nothing physically wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, there can be something physically wrong that's causing that. And if it's a bladder infection or something like that, we want to make sure we get that taken care of. Mm-hmm. But that has been a little stressful.
I bet.
Because, well, cat pee is not pleasant.
Not in the slightest.
And my betrothed is extremely sensitive to it.
Yeah,
extremely sensitive to it. So it stresses her way out, and which I totally get. But it did not ruin our Valentine's Day. We still had a lovely dinner and a lovely time out.
What is that? Yeah, I hate when cats get bad. Like, you know, if it's just being a bad kitty cat, you know, and you can't do anything about it. And like, I mean, it's like, We've been having cat issues ourselves, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They're
moody. They can get upset by stuff. So you don't know, is it the cat's upset about something or is there something going on physically?
Because exactly.
It can be any one of those things.
Either one.
So going to the vet and off to Rio Linda to see what's
cat's
up.
Cat's on its period.
And we'll get that all squared away. But the no mark spray seems to be working.
Good.
Seems to be. And I was researching some of these things. Some of these things, it's like there was one. It's for indoor outdoor use. So to like keep cats from spraying on like shrubbery and whatever else like that. But it's also for indoor use. And the directions were that to apply it, you needed to not only be wearing gloves, but eye protection. Do I really want to put that anywhere near where a living being is going to be if I have to have gloves on to apply it?
Probably not.
Yeah, the stuff I'm using is two of the active ingredients are rosemary and thyme.
So you just have to wait a while?
Yes, with the thyme with a Y. And like I said, there's like a calming agent or whatever else in there. So, so far, it has worked.
That was the sound of
knocking on wood.
Knocking on wood.
Because you know, I'm just waiting for something weird to happen. And it's like, oh, well, they pissed on the bed. Oh, God damn it. God damn it. And you can't get mad.
You can't get mad. Like you want to get mad.
Because they have no idea what's going on.
They don't know what's up.
At all. And one of the things is like, oh, well, make sure that you're very calm and pet them and let them know that you love them and so that it keeps them calm, because if they're stressed out, it's only going to make it worse.
Mm.
So, yeah. So when they're stressing you out, you need to calm down.
Man, that's such good advice.
Oops.
It is really like having another woman.
Yeah, well, you had to stroke it a lot.
All right, well, this went viral last week, and I think intentionally. I don't think this was an accidental leak or anything. Even though the video says Burger King Corporation internal use only, everybody seemed to have a copy of the video of Snoop Dogg teaching people how to make hot dogs at Burger King, including TMZ.
Hello, Burger King employees. Today, we're going to introduce you to an exciting new menu item, grilled dogs.
What up, though? You know me, Snoop D-O-double-G, live and direct from the BK. Today, we're training y'all about the newest menu item, grilled dogs. Hot dogs grilled to perfection. Break out the burners, because we grilling this dog my way. Bikinis, martinis, zucchinis. Yeah, you know the rest. Where my dogs at? You see this bun? All fluffy and whatnot. Topping so fresh and so clean. So fresh and so green. Burger King is doing his thing. DJ, grill that. This is how it's done. You can top this dog with ketchup, mustard, your relishes. You know relishes ain't nothing but chopped up pickles. Let's fire it up. Remember the name. Grilled Dogs, the Whopper of hot dogs. It's the business like me, Snoopy Digo Double G. One love from the LBC to the BK, baby.
So Snoop Dogg, street cred, still there? What's going on?
Hey, Ice Cube did family movies, so yeah.
Ice Cube gets bested by a can of watery beer in a series of ads.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
He lost his street cred card a long time ago.
Oh, Shade Jackson.
Yeah. so yeah, there's Snoop. I can't hate, because he likely cashed a fat check.
Well, I just like the marketing behind the idea of it, of just like making an employee video that they make their employees watch, and then their employees then spread it for them.
Yeah, but there's nothing about that. That's an employee video. That was leaked on purpose. That was one of those things where they're like, we're going to call it an employee
video.
Well,
yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
Well, it worked, because I'm going to Burger King after this. I'm not having hot dogs, but I'm going to Burger King.
I went there today.
Yeah, the title of Grilled Dogs Training Ambassador is only ceremonial, so sorry.
No.
Yeah.
Darn it.
I didn't. It's too bad. So, anybody been watching the People versus O.J. Simpson? I'm a week behind because...
I have not been watching it.
Well, I know how it ends, but Leslie and I were trying to watch it together, and with her traveling so much, we've only been able to watch the first one so far. But Kris Jenner is portrayed in The People versus O.J. Simpson as someone who fiercely believes that O.J. murdered Nicole Brown Simpson and is angry that her ex-husband, Robert Kardashian, is defending him. And TMZ has found out that sentiment is in fact real. In a promo for the show, it's got a scene where Kris angrily confronts Robert about it. And of course, in the show, Robert is Ross from Friends.
Give me your impressions of Marcia Clark.
She seems like a bitch.
Johnny, don't ever contradict me like that again.
You contradict yourself, Bob. We all have longer memories than your previous soundbite.
He butchered her.
He had nothing to do with that. I know that.
He butchered her. So.
The way he butchered me when I was fucking him behind your back.
No, completely different. You know, he cut her neck from ear to ear, allegedly. But it's one of those things. But yeah, for anybody who's not old enough to remember everything that went on with that, it's a bit of a, it's creepy, right? A little bit.
What, how they died?
No, that you like just sort of the dramatization of the actual events that happen.
Oh, yeah, no, it's totally weird to me.
I mean, it's 20 years on, but it's still a little weird, and it's especially weird with Ross from Friends playing the thing. What's going on there? Is that some sort of black guy alarm? What's happening over there on the phone?
That was a. Ray Charles, man.
Well, yeah, I know.
My phone, my ringtone.
Okay. Hey, good news for Lamar Odom, by the way. He has made a cross-country trip. He flew privately with his wife, Khloe Kardashian. Why? Well, to go see Kanye in New York City, because Kanye dropped the new album. Jason, have you listened to the new album? Are you excited about the new album?
I haven't listened to it yet, so I...
So, no.
No. I looked for it on Google Play the other day. No, it was ridiculous. I looked at... I'm not gonna... I have an Android device, so I'm gonna get it off Play, and they didn't have it. So, sorry, Kay. I would have bought the album, but you didn't release it on Play. I mean, like, there's a solid fan base there, bro. And you missed out.
Yeah, I don't believe... I think he was talking shit about running it on, like, Apple Music, too.
Yeah.
So, whatever. But, yeah, good news for Lamar. He got on a private jet, flew across country, and went to a concert. And why is he doing so well? Well, he credits Kanye and Kanye's music. Since TMZ's reporting that Lamar couldn't have gotten on the cross-country flight without Kanye's help, which is why he was determined to get on that flight to New York. Sources close to Lamar tell TMZ that when he was at Cedars-Sinai Hospital, Kanye religiously showed up to visit and frequently played rough cuts of his new music for Lamar. He started remembering specific lyrics, which was one of the early signs that Lamar's condition was improving. TMZ has told Lamar is well aware of the role that Kanye's music played in his comeback. He told Khloe how important it was for him to be at last Thursday's show in New York to show Kanye how much he loves and supports him. So, there you go.
That's heartwarming, right?
And yeah, that's pretty cool. I will slam Kanye is as much as anybody, but that doesn't mean he doesn't do good things,
right.
Here and there. So I love it when people just throw out a blanket statement. It's like, oh well, they just do. It's like even the worst people in the world do nice things occasionally. That's true.
Okay.
I bet Donald Trump does nice things here and
I'm
there.
Not, yeah. I mean, possibly, I'm sure.
Yeah. He's getting all political. Yeah. Donald Trump. Ted Cruz. I bet Ted Cruz is a lovely man.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Probably not. I saw that one video of him where he was a douchebag. Like, and it was like when he was like 19 years old.
Yeah, we played it on
the show.
Yeah,
we played it on the show. That was, guy was a douchebag.
Yeah, well... Okay, you weren't a douchebag at 19?
Well, yeah, of course I was, but I'm not, I would never become president. There's no way that would ever
happen. Well, Well, I don't think he's becoming president either. So
no. I would never be able to become a senator. I would never be able to become a council member on a city planning board.
Well, one never knows about that. But you know what I do know about? I know it's time for this.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, Burger King. Burger King, Jason.
Tool.
Okay.
I'm going to say Tool.
Well, since I'm going there after this, it's cool.
You know, I'm sorry. I hate to disagree with you, Jason. I really do. Burger King is cool, and you know why? Because you can have it your way. Back in the day, McDonald's was like, fuck it, here's how it comes. Deal with it.
Yeah, true.
Burger King was like, no, you can have it your way.
Right.
You can have it your way. And I will get two words for you that will explain to you why Burger King is awesome. Chicken fries.
That is a good reason.
Yeah. Chicken fries.
Just don't get their chicken burger, man.
I didn't say everything was gold, my friend.
Yeah, well, that was not.
Plus, they were one of the first places that had those Coke Freestyle machines, too. So
those are dope. Those are my favorite.
Absolutely dope. Up next in Cooler Tool, Kris Jenner. Kris Jenner. Kareem.
Tool.
Jason.
Garden Tool.
I'm going to say she's a tool.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. She's a tool.
Good.
Yeah. Again, she may do nice things here and there for people.
Right.
Still a tool. And finally in Cooler Tool, this is always a toughie. Kanye. Jason.
I want to say cool, sorry.
Kareem.
Toolish.
Here's the thing. Going to visit Lamar all the time, playing him music. That I cannot call you a tool if you're going to do that. That is cool. I'm going to give Kanye cool.
Oh.
I'm going to. He is a blowhardy prick.
Right.
But to go and do that all the time, that's very cool. That's a very classy move.
Yeah.
So we'll have a little bit more on Kanye in just a second. But that's cooler tool. Yeah!
Bam!
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you bam the microphone indeed.
Sorry.
All right, so we mentioned the Grammys off the top of the show. Taylor Swift did very well. She won, but then she dissed Kanye West, whose lyric, and I quote, "I made that bitch famous," unquote, pissed her off. Here's what she told the crowd, which I didn't really know much about it, so I didn't think it was that big a deal, but if you follow closely, I guess it is.
I want to say to all the young women out there, there are going to be people along the way who will try to undercut your success or take credit for your accomplishments or your fame. But if you just focus on the work and you don't let those people sidetrack you, someday when you get where you're going, you'll look around and you will know that it was you and the people who love you who put you there. And that will be the greatest feeling in the world. Thank you for this moment.
Album of the year, so congratulations to her. What was really sort of pandery to me was, as she was saying all that, they were getting close-ups of every female artist in the audience that they could find that was paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it started with Selena Gomez, and ultimately it went to the chick from Alabama Shakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, now you're just looking for any woman in the audience paying attention.
You know, just find a couple women.
Thanks, CBS. And nice job with the audio. It sounded like shit.
She's the exercise in mediocrity. Which reminds me that America really loves mediocrity.
She writes catchy tunes.
Yeah.
She writes catchy tunes, and she pulls on heartstrings that, you know, chicks identify with what she's saying.
And the majority of people out there are women that are that age range, right?
Yeah. I mean, Leslie loves Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Loves Taylor Swift. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with Taylor Swift.
No.
I mean, it's...
I mean, no, it's not, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying that,
It's not my thing.
It's middling.
You know what? Here's how I know Taylor Swift is talented. If you listen to Ryan Adams, who completely covered her 1989 album. Let me call that up real quick for you. Feel free to talk amongst yourselves. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and talk amongst yourselves.
I never was a Ryan Adams fan.
How dare you? Okay. How dare you, sir?
Midland.
I mean, like, is it Ryan Adams or is it Brian Adams?
That's two different people.
Well, he should have changed his name. He shouldn't have changed his name to what he did.
Both awesome.
Did Ryan Adams change his name to Ryan Adams?
Brian Adams. I like Brian Adams.
Oh yes, Brian Adams is awesome. So yeah. let me
but
quickly.
Yeah, no, she's, I'm just like ah.
All right, let me
see. She is pop radio.
Yeah.
She is.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Since I don't listen to the radio.
Yeah.
Because you're too hard for it.
He's way too hard for that.
It's just not. I need something that touches your soul.
Yeah. And she's not that hard.
No.
Let me see. Why is Spotify is being really terrible to me? Hold on. Okay. Here we go.
Spotify, you can just work.
Normally, Spotify does work. Right now, it is not working for me.
Come on.
What are you doing?
Why do you have to be like that?
Yeah. See, it says it's playing and then it does that. Is this it? I think it is. I think it's finally working. This is Shake It Off. Slightly different vibe.
I stay out too late. Nothing in my brain. That's what people say. That's what people say. I go on too many days. I can make them stay. That's what people say. That's what people say. I keep cruising. Can't stop, won't stop moving. It's like I got this music in my mind. It's gonna be alright. The players gonna play, and the haters gonna hate. Baby, I'm just gonna shake it off.
I like this version much better than the original version, but it's a good song.
Yeah, it's hard for me to. I have a memory associated with that, the first one,
right?
Like, so for some reason, it's always gonna have that. Sure. Placeholder for me, but I get it. I would never say that Taylor Swift was a bad artist, and not, you know, this is a good song. The rhythm's nice.
Yeah, I like that. So that version better than the other one.
Yeah.
Are those seagulls?
And the cool thing was when he announced he was doing it, Taylor Swift was like, "That sounds awesome." Not like, "What's he gonna do to my music?"
Yeah, she did a thing with Kendrick Lamar, right? They did like a. He did like one of her songs. Yeah.
So, she got a bad rap for being whiny and writing about breakups because that was her thing for quite a while.
Yeah.
Wanting something more, searching for a sound they haven't heard before. So welcome to New York. It's been waiting for you. Welcome to New York.
So yeah, Ryan Adams covering 1989. Worth a listen if you want to seek it out. Let me see back to here. Yeah, got sidetracked. Sorry. Hey, so the big thing about any award show is the after parties. They're all over the place. And you got to be somebody to get into one of these after parties.
Yeah.
You got to be somebody, you got to know somebody. Now, you would imagine that Paul McCartney would have no problem, right?
Sir Paul McCartney?
Sir Paul McCartney tried to go to a after party, and he was not alone. He was with Beck and Taylor Hawkins from the Foo Fighters. And they tried to get into Argyle nightclub in Hollywood in a bash that was hosted by Tyga. And security did not let them in.
Really?
Yeah, there's video of the whole thing on TMZ. It does not lend itself well to the audio format, but go ahead and check that off. Now, a rep for Argyle says Paul was not denied at the door, but instead there was a mix-up. The rep claims that Paul was trying to go to Mark Ronson's Republic Records party, which was at Hyde Lounge, and once Paul figured that out, he left. That is not what happened.
That's not what happened at all.
No, that's not what happened in the video. That's them making up bullshit. He went in, and at one point, you hear Paul McCartney say, "How VIP do we gotta get? We need another hit, guys." Paul McCartney, Beck, and the drummer for the Foo Fighters.
We need another hit, guys.
Cannot get into a party. After a second try,
hosted by Tyga.
Oh,
why do you want to go to a party hosted by Tyga?
That's the only reason that it might be Creedence is because like there's no reason absolutely whatsoever I could see those three guys wanting to go to a party with Tyga.
Well, anyway, after a second attempt, they got in their car and went to the Republic Records party. there's also video of Tyga and Bow Wow after they left and learned that Paul McCartney was not allowed to party with them. I was unimpressed with Tyga, as I always am, because I don't think he's very smart. I was impressed with Bow Wow because he's like, "What? Wait, who? Paul McCartney? You're kidding, right?" And they're like, "No, Paul McCartney couldn't get in." He's like, "Oh man." So
Tyga probably don't know who Paul McCartney
is.
He don't know much. But yeah,
Paul, I'll tell you one thing he knows about.
So the next time you can't get in the club, don't feel bad. Paul McCartney can't either. But then again, he's old. It's true. Yeah. And he had Beck with him.
You're right.
I want to blame that.
Why? What's wrong with Beck?
Well, I'm not letting Beck into the club. What's he going to do?
He's going to get on those turntables and
nobody listens to techno, so let's go. Sorry. Anyway, so that's what happened. A after party gone wrong. Rosie O'Donnell, meanwhile, has pissed off the autism community with a joke about autistic kids, which is why one person is calling Rosie, and I quote, "a piece of dog shit." Rosie performed at Caroline's on Broadway, where she joked that parenting her teenagers was so tough that she'd trade them in for autistic triplets in an instant.
What the fuck?
That is a comment made by someone who has no idea what autistic kids can be like. No clue. So a rep for the National Autism Association said her organization was beyond offended. The rep didn't hold back, saying that Rosie wasn't only dog shit, but mushy dog shit on the bottom of their shoe.
Ew.
You know what's fun? It's like, in a way, it's like what comes around, like what goes around comes around,
right?
With Rosie.
But that wasn't the end. The rep went on to say that Rosie crossed all lines of being a good human being to make a desperate low blow joke. Now Rosie is saying, telling TMZ, and I quote again, "Although it wasn't my intent to hurt people, I realize I did. It was my fault. I have two children with spectrum disorders, and I'm aware of the challenges and stigma associated with autism." She also notes that she's raised money and done documentaries for the autism community. That actually makes it worse.
Yeah.
Because if you claim to actually know, and you still make the biggest crime, not funny. It wasn't like it was a funny joke that was crossing the line. It was just some bullshit.
Well, I mean, I think the fact that she just, if she was a real comedian, if she was a comedian,
right,
she would have stood by her joke and said, "This is exactly what's wrong with not being able to be a comedian nowadays and be able to say something that's offensive. I'm joking around. I'm saying a joke." But instead, she reacts the way she does, you know,
because it wasn't funny and it wasn't really a joke. So, seriously, stop it. And
why are people still talking to her?
Well, the only reason anybody was talking to her is because she said some shit and it got back to the people that are from the organization.
I mean, if The View kicks you off the show, then that means you're career pretty much is over.
She, I mean, and listen, she is by all accounts a terrible, terrible person to deal with. Like behind this, like when she had her daytime talk show, it was all happy and joy and fun, fun, fun. The stories that came out from behind the scenes on that show was that she was a nightmare to deal with. And you can call it being a perfectionist or whatever, but you don't have to be an asshole to do good work.
No, you don't. You can be a nice person.
Not she chose not to. So yeah. Well, everybody makes their choices.
I, you know what? I've been scarred from her ever since I saw Road to Paradise, I think it is. Or
is it the one where she's in a latex bodysuit?
Yes. Yeah, and Dan Aykroyd too.
Yes.
Yeah.
The only good thing about that was Sarah, what was her name? The redhead. She was the woman with the red hair in Tombstone. Gosh, what was her name? She's on a TV show now.
She was on the war show too. I can't think of the name of.
You guys are right on this.
I'm picturing her face and I can't think of her name.
I can't think of her name. I want to say it's, Rebecca.
She's hot too.
But it's not Rebecca. It's Sarah something.
No, it's not Sarah.
What is it?
This is good stuff.
Who is it? Who is it? What's her name?
I'm looking it up right now. That's okay. That's why I'm letting you.
Well, she was on. She was on Northern Exposure too.
Yeah, and she was on. It was The Good Wife, right? Is that the one she was on, or is it the other one?
Hold on here, Rosie O'Donnell. God damn it, IMDb. What the fuck? I swear to God,
that movie was. That and it was based off of a Anne Rice novel.
It was a book. It was actually supposed to be a more of a series.
Exit to Eden or Exit from Eden.
Exit from Eden.
Exit to Eden.
Exit to Eden.
There you go. From 1994.
Mm-hmm.
And let me look at the cast on here for you.
So I was like in high school, like I was in prime whacking age at that point.
Dana Delaney.
Dana Delaney. Yep. Yes.
Dana Delaney. Paul Mercurio, who's a stand-up comedian. Rosie O'Donnell, Dan Aykroyd, Hector Elizondo, Iman,
mm-hmm. yeah,
is in
She's
it.
She's a bad guy in there,
and that's pretty much anybody that I can recognize.
Oh my
that.
God, man! It was seriously though, like I don't know. I blame it for my rough patch in my life.
Well, this was everybody has to remember. This was pre-internet, so it wasn't easy. It wasn't as easy as just sitting down at your computer and rubbing one out.
No, you had to. It was a whole process. You had to make sure nobody was at the house because you had to get the VCR, and sometimes your house only had one VCR. You know, so you had to go like make sure people were out of the house, lock the doors, put the candle on, you know, get that vanilla scent in the air.
She was on China Beach.
Oh, yeah, that's where it was, China Beach.
So here is one of the descriptions of the movie.
Oh, shit.
Troubled by his own repressed sexuality, Elliot embarks on a trip to an island of libertinage and sexual release, not realizing that he's become the target for a criminal vendetta. Two cops are close behind and have to go deep undercover to discover what's going on amongst the submission and bondage, and Elliot's growing love for Mistress Lisa.
She played Mistress Lisa.
It sounds great, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, they probably, I think they started one way with the movie and then, oh, let's make it a comedy. And
yeah.
Because I don't think the book was.
The book was not. What? It was really like sexy. Like it was.
I think the book was like 50 Shades of Grey before 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
Well, I think they had to. Okay. And Rotten Tomatoes. Are you ready for the rating on this?
16%.
Okay, so there's two different scores. There's the tomato meter, which is critics, and then there's the audience score. So what do you think the critics gave it?
I think the critics gave it a 16%, and I'm going to say the audience gave it a, like a 8%.
Rotten tomatoes.
Kareem, what do you think?
I think they probably gave it 10 Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, that's not how it works. It's a percentage of people who have seen it, critics and audience, that like it.
2%.
For critics? And what about audience?
5%.
Okay. You're very close with the critics. It's 6% with the critics.
Mm.
It is rotten. And the audience, 24%. With the average rating, which is way too high, 2.5 out of 5 stars. It is a 1-star movie. At best.
At best. Like...
Is the description here on Rotten Tomatoes, this sexy farce stars Dan Aykroyd and Rosie O'Donnell is Fred and Sheila, a pair of cynical detectives investigating the disappearance of a key witness in a diamond smuggling case. The case leads them to a Club Med-styled S&M resort where dog collars and cat-o'-nine-tails abound. Further complicating matters, the smugglers end up on the island as well. The missing witness photographer Elliot Slater takes a job as a bondage boy, and he falls in love with the resort manager, Mistress Lisa. It is adapted from an Anne Rice novel of the same name.
So you know, if they said sexy and Dan Aykroyd and Rosie O'Donnell in the same...
That was the only time it was ever said in the same
sentence. It was directed by Gary Marshall, who normally is a wonderful comedic director. It can't all be wins.
I think that was why I was so disappointed, because the book was prime whacking material for me. And then the movie, I was like, this is going to be amazing. I can't wait.
Mm.
And it was horrible. I thought at a point that Rosie O'Donnell was kind of attractive, and I hate myself every day for it. I'm sorry. That's just the way I...
Thank you guys. Look, that's how you know that was what he went into the movie with the intention was to whack, because he was like, fuck, I got to find something in this movie that I can whack.
Oh, it's fucking horrible, man. I had a fucking hard on for 45 minutes trying to watch Rosie because I was like, I cannot waste it on just the you know what I mean? Like,
he's like pre-prepared.
I had the idea of like being able to watch some boobies. Like, I was like, it was a low point in my life.
Here's what I would like to know. How do you maintain an erection while Dan Aykroyd is on screen?
Oh, man, with the idea that there's going to be some sexy girl on there with some big old boobies.
By the way, the only fucking that was going on was Jason mind-fucking himself.
Pretty much.
I'm still mind-fucking myself.
There you go. All right, it's time for this. Oh, this is a good one, too. Got a little apology from a Florida man.
From goofballs to gators, here's Florida Corner.
That's right. A South Florida man is apologizing after throwing a live alligator into a Wendy's drive-thru window. According to authorities, it started when Joshua James placed an order at the fast food restaurant in Royal Palm Beach. He took his drink, reached into the back of his truck, and pitched a 3.5-foot alligator through the drive-thru window when the server turned around. Now, the incident happened in October, but he wasn't arrested until last week. Now, while he was in jail, a photo of the alligator in the restaurant went viral online. He made his first court appearance, and he's now speaking out. He said, "We were just like fishing and hanging out, and we stumbled upon an alligator." He said when the group decided to pull a prank on their buddy who worked at Wendy's that received the alligator toss. Adding, "I'm sorry for what I did. I mean, you know, just being stupid and not thinking. Obviously, I found out what the consequences were." The 23-year-old, now charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, petty theft, and unlawful possession and transportation of an alligator, which is not something you hear every day, unless you're in Florida. He is out on $6,000 bond. The judge ordered him to avoid contact or possession with any animals other than his mother's dog, and to undergo a mental health evaluation and avoid possessing any weapons. If he fails a random drug and alcohol test, back to the pokey with him. So you know the judge is serious.
Holy shit.
He's going to do that next week.
Yeah, well.
What the fuck? Like, there's so many what the fucks in that story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sentence, like, random drug testing and alcohol testing for...
Well, that's not the sentence. That's just the condition of his bond.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, that's so crazy.
No, because they know he was drunk when he threw the fucking alligator.
Or high.
Or high. Yeah.
He was obviously stupid. I have a new rule. Uh-oh. And the rule is...
Free agent wide receiver Josh Morgan...
Hold on. The rule is... If you are an NFL wide receiver, you're not allowed to have a gun because they keep shooting themselves.
Oops.
First it was Plaxico Burress, and now it's Josh Morgan.
Free agent wide receiver Josh Morgan was issued a summons for a single misdemeanor count of reckless handling of a firearm days after he accidentally discharged his gun while cleaning it. TMZ first reported the incident. Morgan was taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, according to Loudoun County Sheriff's Office records. Morgan just completed his seventh NFL season. His most productive year was in 2010, when he had nearly 700 receiving yards with the 49ers.
So, yeah. No more guns for NFL wide receivers. You obviously can't handle them.
No.
Whether you're cleaning it or you've stuffed it into the waistband of your sweatpants to go to the club, you just can't stop shooting yourself in the leg.
I'm trying to figure out why he got charged with reckless handling it if he was cleaning it.
Because it went off.
Yeah, but I mean, if he's cleaning it at his house, then it wasn't, you know.
Oh, no. It was apparently very reckless because he shot himself.
Yeah, he shot himself, but that's the thing. I'm like, well, what do you...
I guess the point is, where would you clean your gun?
Well, yeah. It wasn't because he was cleaning his gun. It's because it went off and he didn't have control of it. He's lucky he shot himself and not somebody else.
Right.
That's the reckless part.
Right, but I'm like, okay, was he... was he somewhere there were other people? That's what my question is.
I'm guessing there were probably other people in the home, yeah. Otherwise.
No, that's not what I'm talking. I mean, for you to say he was reckless.
I didn't say it.
No, I'm not saying you, dumbass. For you to say that he's recklessly handling a gun to the point where you're going to charge him, you would think that there would be. He would be somewhere besides home.
And if you're cleaning a gun correctly, if I'm not mistaken, you are always aiming it down towards the ground, which means if he shot himself in the leg or the foot, would indicate that he was doing it properly, which is not reckless then also. I mean, like, here's the thing. I know people that are big gun nuts that have shot themselves accidentally before when they were cleaning a gun. So, like...
I'm not saying that it's not funny that he shot himself. I'm just saying... What the fuck are you charging him with? Yeah,
that's... Essentially being stupid is what he's being charged with.
Yeah.
So no more guns, wide receivers. Yeah. You're going to have to be like in the secondary. You're going to have to switch sides of the ball if you want a gun.
His career was over anyway. could barely catch a cold.
So that's over. Jimmy Kimmel Live is doing something they're calling Mashup Mondays. And it was kind of interesting to see if you like this. It's a mashup of a rapper from the late 90s and Panic at the Disco. I'll let Jimmy introduce.
And here with the thong song, Panic at the Cisco.
Thing right here. Let all the ladies know what guys talk about. You know, the final things in life. Check it out.
That dress so scandalous, no another man could handle it. But she's shaking that thing, cooler-ish. She looking in her eyes so devilish. You want to bounce to the hip hop spot, and she grew to the groove.
That is the whitest man ever rapping.
He's not a rapper, he's a singer. That's Cisco.
That is not Cisco.
No, it's not Cisco.
Cisco is coming up. It's the guy from Panic at the Disco doing this part. Let me see that love. Here's Cisco. So what do we think of this Monday mashup? I mean, the thong song is a classic.
I've seen some of them, and I've liked all the ones I've seen up until that one.
Yeah, I worked at a radio station when that song was out.
Yes.
It's horrible. I guess I've heard it way too many times.
Yeah.
I could never, I lived with Marines when that song came out. And, there's these two guys that were...
They were probably walking around in thongs.
No, they weren't walking around, but they would sing the song. Like, it was, like, all they did. Like, oh, my God. Oh.
Bum-ba-dum-bum-bum.
It would be thong to thong, thong, thong.
I'm just making some noise, bro.
I'll sing it again. By the way, if you haven't seen the video yet, the dragon necklace that Cisco is wearing, I think, would be dope on you.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, well, shit, man.
It's Cisco. He's just happy anyone called him at this point.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, what? Wait, hold on a second. Oh, I think it's a Bill Clinton. I think it's somebody trying to scam me to get somewhere. I think that Warren's come back to haunt me. They're telling me that they want me on a show at night.
on a network.
Are you guys for real?
You're kidding me, right?
Yeah, you're kidding me, right?
Wait, what? I have a fun story about the thong song. In early 2000, I was in Memphis, Tennessee, interviewing for a job at a TV station. And Cisco is Cisco's from Memphis, but Cisco was touring with Justin Timberlake, who is from Memphis. I'm not sure if Cisco's from Memphis or not. It's not important to the story. I think he is, though, because they sent the reporter out to do a story on the thong song. And she was pissed. It was this cute blonde southern reporter, and she's like, I can't believe I have to go out and do a story about the thong song. I will never forget that. She was like spitting nails. That is one of the three angriest reporters I have seen with an assignment in my life. And I've seen quite a few reporters being sent out to cover stuff that they're like, why am I doing this? Why are you sending me to this?
I think it's hilarious. Darn it.
She was very upset. But, she ended up being a pro and turning a decent story. But she went into it with a great deal of contempt for the thong song.
I thought it would be towards her producer that sent her out on it.
Well, she clearly granny panties. But... just from her reaction.
Yeah, without a doubt.
You know, I'm sure comfort.
Maybe she didn't wear any. Maybe she's that type of girl.
I don't think she was.
No, I mean, not that it's a type of girl. I don't want to make it, you know.
How dare you, sir?
There's that type of guy that just doesn't wear, you know.
I don't want to know that type of guy.
That doesn't wear, that goes commando?
Yes.
Oh, man, you never know. It's the guy lurking next to you. I guarantee you this guy
Are you telling me that you're not wearing underwear? Is that what this is?
Oh, no, I always wear underwear. That's dirty.
Yeah, well, it's not just dirty. I don't want to scrape my cock on my zipper.
Mine
seriously.
Hangs down too low.
Well, that maybe the end of it does, but the shaft will pass by the zipper.
Oh, man.
Unless your cock starts at your mid-thigh.
That's why you got to get those button-fly jeans, bro.
Button-fly.
Button-fly.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Unless you have to take a leak.
Then no, they're easy, man. I pop those buttons like... Blah.
Jason pops his buttons. This is an announcement for everybody.
Gotta pop them.
Popping the buttons. Kareem, are you a fan of the button-fly? You ever rock the button-fly?
I have, but yeah, it doesn't make... And when you gotta go, when you
what
gotta go.
What the fuck,
go.
Guys? Like, how do you? Like, how hard is it to? Seriously?
Yeah, those buttons are made to stay buttoned.
Man, I got them. I got it. I'm not. It's not a problem. Next time I'm here, guys, I'm
you
gonna
just,
show you how
you,
quickly
you just slip it right out between them, don't you? You don't unbutton anything.
If it's...
The secret's out. Secret's
you
out.
Son of a bitches. You know, with that type of comment, there's nothing I can do. I can't really defend. Like,
don't
you know.
Be mad at us because we got to unbutton ours to get it out.
All right. That was cruel and unnecessary. So let's do this.
And now, the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
We all have our favorite eateries at home and away. Kay and I recently spent a month in Kissimmee, Florida, and had no problem finding places to chow down. Oh, really? They have restaurants in Florida, you say?
No.
Special thanks to family and friends for gifting us with restaurant cards to aid and assist with keeping my girth near the limit of my belt. For Kay, on the other hand, Bird Bites maintained her fighting figure at 94 pounds, 94 pounds?
94?
Jesus, I hope she doesn't catch a cold. She won't have enough weight on her to get
Jesus,
through it.
Jesus, no wonder they go to Florida. I hope the hurricane doesn't come by.
She orders a toasted cheese sandwich with a slice of tomato along with a cup of soup and brings half the sandwich home for a snack.
What the fuck?
I order a full course meal and smack my lips when I lick the plate. Do opposites attract? In our case, we certainly do. Thanks to our trusty GPS and my unfailing sense of smell when food is being prepared, we had no problem whatsoever zeroing in on enough restaurants to keep us satiated. Again, it's so hard to find a restaurant. Some were old standards, while others were new discoveries. Some were wonderful, and others were horrendous.
Wait, they're buried? They weren't all the same?
Right? It's crazy. I won't burden you with a list of the good ones.
What an asshole!
I'm easy to please. Just bring me meat and potatoes with a nice veggie or a tasty piece of fish, and I'm a happy camper. Well, I can agree there.
I was like, man, is Nate talking about himself?
Oh, I appreciated the sauces and the perfect presentation we found along the way.
That's what we did for
yeah, right there. Bam.
But there were a few disappointments, and most of them had to do with inflated prices. I had no complaints about the all-you-can-eat buffets. I always get more than my money's worth. After all, I felt obligated to make up for the teeny portions Kay put on her plate. Desserts? Yep, those two. We found a Florida version of a Plattsburgh chain favorite just one block from our condo and moved our forks up and down there often. When the service and fare are exemplary, we not only praise the wait staff, but management. We also show our appreciation with generous tips. Hear that, Kareem? Generous tips.
Yep. Jason,
yeah. What's that? What? Am I a generous tipper? You got a generous tip.
We singled out a few upscale restaurants along the way and were generally pleased with what we found. However, on one occasion, we chose what sounded like a steakhouse. Big mistake. It took so long for the waitress to explain the meat selection that I took a nap while my stomach gurgled at the blues. The wine list had names I could neither pronounce nor afford, and I was not impressed with the pomp and circumstance. Entrees were beyond expensive, and anything extra, including vegetables, added to the exorbitant tab. Someone at our table ordered butter for his bread, and the cost was over $5! I ate my expensive pork chops while Kay sipped her lobster bisque. We opted out of dessert and drove away, singing the blues with lighter wallets. I suppose some diners enjoy that kind of pomposity. But we couldn't wait to get back to our old haunts in Plattsburgh to order two Michigans. By the way, Michigans are really just chili dogs. For anybody who, if you ever hear the term Michigan, it's just a chili dog.
That's dirty.
Although I'm told slightly different. It's not chili dog. It's a chili dog.
I'm gonna give you a Michigan. That sounds like something you give somebody or somebody you.
I'm gonna order you a hot Michigan.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you a steamy Michigan.
Well, yeah, you're going to want steam buns for your Michigan.
Right, definitely. Let me steam those buns and get ready for that Michigan.
Totally going to want those. So, yeah, there we go. That's small town news. Thanks, Gordy.
You know, the pork chops are generally the cheapest item on the menu.
They indeed are.
And the loss were, I mean, they like, oh, I, you know, there's something that I want to. If you go to a restaurant and you're going to a steakhouse, you got to know it's going to be expensive. It's just in the name, steakhouse. Like, that's like,
right.
That's like
$4. But let me explain something to you. Plattsburgh, New York. This is small town news. When you're dealing with small town, expensive is $20.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
So the thought of anything over $20 is like, oh my goodness. And when you start, like, you go to a steakhouse, it's your steak is $50 or $40, however much your steak is. Yeah. And then if you want a baked potato, that is an extra thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want something else, it's an extra thing. It's not a combo meal.
No. Oh my God.
Like, so if you're used to that and you go and you head somewhere where it's different, it is going, I don't know that I would write a column about it, but
it's like the one, like he says, he's not going to tell us about the good places, the great, like, Gordy, I want to send you a message, bro.
I'm just going to complain about that one expensive place.
Like, going out and eating,
go ahead.
You just know when you go out to eat and you're going to, like, you can't order the two cheapest things on the menu and expect them to taste good. Sorry, it's not going to happen. It's just not, you're not going to get the pork chops, which are generally the, I don't know. Because maybe it should be the best. I went to a place and I got a really great pork chop from a really expensive place, but it was amazing. They did a great job with it. So, I'm just being an asshole. I'm sorry, Gordy. Gordy, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man. I shouldn't be so judgmental.
You really shouldn't.
I'm sorry, guys.
It's a terrible thing to be that way. I mean, I get it. But when you leave the small town, stuff's going to get more expensive.
I came from the suburbs, you know?
Not the same.
Not the same.
Suburbs are not the same as a small town, my friend.
No, it's not.
You small town, it's a whole different thing. Yeah. Like, in the suburb, is that a column in a suburban newspaper? It is not.
It's not.
In a small town, that's a column.
That's a column.
That's the whole point of small town news. It's a very different place.
It takes me to a place that I want to go, maybe.
You should go. You should go have a Michigan.
Yeah, you should.
Right on my chest. Well, that's because I'm a messy eater.
Yeah, you go there in the summertime, get yourself a Michigan at the Michigan stand, and then get yourself a nice nice creamy.
I love creamies.
You do? just for the record, that's a soft serve ice cream.
Yeah, I'm...
But it sounds just as dirty.
Sounds.
You gonna get a Michigan and then treat yourself to a creamy?
Yeah, of course. I always finish a Michigan with a creamy.
Your wife is going to hear this and she's gonna be like, "You're a jackass."
Oh, my wife's gonna hear, or my mother-in-law is gonna hear this.
Yeah,
because
they're not from far away from Plattsburgh.
No, they're in a small town.
Right. So you're like, "You're a dick," and you'd love a Michigan. And a creamy.
I would. I'm not saying anything bad. And I'm.
All right, that's going to wrap up this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Leave you a little music from Brian Fallon, who I am seeing in Sacramento tomorrow night at Ace of Spades. By the way, Juke Joint Friday this Friday night at the Brickhouse Art Galleries.
Tickets are on Eventbrite, $10 in advance, $15 at the door. We got the jazz of Deshaun Thwaites Rebel Quartet. And the comedy of Mr. Lance Woods.
Lance Woods, y'all.
So get yourself out and see a little Kareem and friends on Friday night in Oak Park. All right, we'll see you on Friday with another new show. Bye-bye. Never see you again. Have a ride on me, love. Hallelujah. Nobody wins. And nobody wins. And nobody wins. I never see you again. You can blame it on the wind.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.